Hello and welcome to the Illinois Radio Reader. I'm Janelle Eckerman and today I'll be reading selections from the Decatur Herald and Review for Thursday, December 4, 2025. And from the front page, the heading is Decatur, Snow Taps Into Ambience of Trees. And the title of the article is Weather Adds Challenges, Appeal to Trees on the Tees. And the article was written by Danette Beckett and Joseph Ressler. Forsyth, Hickory Point Golf Course is once again a winter wonderland for the annual Trees on the Tees, with winter playing a bigger part as this year's event prepared to get underway. This is probably the worst weather we've had, said Sean Dawson, who was on a ladder Tuesday wrapping ribbon around a snow-covered tree for J.J. Swart's company. This is the third year the company has decorated one of the many trees along the golf course for patrons to see as they drive by on golf carts. It's all for good stuff, added Brad Swartz, owner of the general contractor company, and the article is then continued onto page A6. The JCG Midwest Drainage and Concrete crew was up to the frigid task in this, their first year of participation. We like supporting our community, said Haley Peters, keeping her attention focused on the festive aspect of the event, which opened to visitors Wednesday night. The Decatur Park District staff was looking on the bright side too. It's adding to the ambience of all the trees, said Susan Keane, special events coordinator. The maintenance crew has seen its preparation efforts kick into high gear since Saturday's snow landed in central Illinois. In addition to the usual last-minute tasks, they've worked to keep the cart paths, the pavilion and parking lot clear of ice and snow. It's a lot of work, said Nate Bless, a park district superintendent, pointing out the added stress of having to remember exactly where you placed a certain wire when it's buried under a foot of snow. But the experience when the lights turn on is one of magic, he added. Once you see that light in the kids' eyes, and even the adults, it brings out something in them too. For nearly every Trees on the Tees since its inception 5 years ago, Mother Nature has taken time to visit. Rain, wind, extreme cold, and now snow have been part of the outdoor festivities. Considering it takes place the first two weekends in December, interesting weather is expected. A limited number of tickets are still available at $9 per person for carts and $6 per person for walkers. Dates are December 3 to 7 and December 10 to 14. Along with a tour of decorated trees, visitors are invited to sit on a hay bale to roast s'mores by the fire pit and sip on hot chocolate. Hot mini donuts are also available. Entertainment is provided by the Decatur Park District Dancers. A virtual reality machine will also be on display with a new movie or a new experience. There's something about the snow that makes people happy and in the Christmas spirit, said Katie Myers, Director of Marketing and Communications. The Park District will contact ticket holders if the weather causes any more problems. We will post it on Facebook and it will also be posted on our website, Myers said. In the past, the spring-like wind and rain caused the Park District's administration to cancel an evening date. I don't think the snow this year is that much of a challenge, Keane said. It just lends to the whole Hallmark-esque conditions out there. And the photo from the front page is captioned, Sean Dawson and Brad Swartz of J.J. Swartz Co. decorate a snow-covered tree for Trees on the Tees at Hickory Point Golf Course in Decatur on Tuesday, December 2. And just looking at the photograph, it looks extremely cold and they are rugged up. The trees are surrounded by lots of snow and the decorations look bright, colourful and very festive. I'll now continue with some local news from page A2 and A3. And the first article is Contractor Killed by Freight Train. Worker was removing snow from Naperville train platform. And the article was written by William Lee. Chicago. A contractor removing snow from a Naperville train station was killed when a freight train struck the snow removal equipment that the man was operating, according to city officials. Naperville police and fire officials responded to the station at 105 East 4th Avenue on Monday evening following the collision, according to a statement from city manager Doug Krieger. Authorities determined that the contractor was operating the snow removal equipment on the station's south platform when an eastbound freight train struck the device. The contractor, whose identity wasn't released, died from his injuries. This is a profound tragedy, and on behalf of the city of Naperville, I extend our deepest condolences to his family and friends, Krieger said in a statement. Our employees and contractors deliver vital services to the community daily, and their safety is of paramount importance to us. The loss of life in this manner is heartbreaking. And the next article is Little Theatre sets summer season. Fun shows include Annie and Route 66, and it's written by Danette Beckett. Sullivan. For those already looking forward to the summer, Sullivan's Little Theatre on the Square has an ideal gift. Little Theatre has announced the 2026 summer season. Season tickets are now available before single tickets go on sale February 23. However, the Christmas season is in full bloom for the professional theatre. Million Dollar Quartet Christmas will be on stage December 12 through 21. The show brings together Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins and Johnny Cash, reenacting the event that happened on December 4, 1956 at Sun Studios in Memphis. So it was Christmas time and there was some of those popular Christmas songs sang together on that 8-hour recording session, said John Stevens, Little Theatre Executive Director. Shortly after the season is over, the theatre will be gearing up for the summer. The list of shows includes classic musicals such as Guys and Dolls, Little Shop of Horrors and Annie. You have three clear winning choices, Stevens said. Three other shows, Greater Tuna, Come From Away and Route 66, the musical, may not be as well known, but so much fun and so meaningful in so many ways, Stevens said. Stevens admits the hardest part of his job is selecting the summer season. Each year we sit for weeks trying to figure out the best combination that will give everyone something to enjoy and also something they might not have seen before, he said. The lesser-known plays are reminiscent of the local communities, the executive director said. Greater Tuna is based in the small town of Tuna, Texas. Silly and fun, but with some real heart, Stevens said. Honestly, the town of Tuna, Texas, reminds me of many of the small towns in central Illinois. Our audiences will see characters they know up on that stage. Come From Away is a heartfelt musical based around some of the events of September 11, 2001, when several planes were diverted to Gander, a town in Newfoundland, Canada. This show also shows the amazing beauty that can come together in a small community when they need to lend a helping hand. Also very similar to the small towns in central Illinois, Stevens says. To commemorate the famous highway's 100th anniversary, the cast of Route 66 will celebrate the heartland of America during the stage performance. Audiences will know most every song in the show, Stevens said. Along with season tickets for all of the productions, the theatre also offers pick 3, 4, and 5 show packages for those interested in a select few shows. Great Christmas gifts to those hard to buy for family members and an amazing way to start a tradition in the arts for the entire family, Stevens said, and it fits everyone. And the photo with this article is captioned, Theatregoers line up to enter the Little Theatre on the Square for a show. And that photo was from Joseph Ressler from Herald and Review. And moving on, the next article is Search for Lost MH370 Flight to Resume. and the article is from the Associated Press, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Malaysia's transport ministry said Wednesday that a private firm will resume a deep-sea hunt for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 this month, more than a decade after the jet vanished without a trace. The search will be carried out by Texas-based marine robotics firm Ocean Infinity, which signed a new no-find, no-fee contract with Malaysia's government in March. Ocean Infinity will be paid $70 million only if wreckage is discovered. It is unclear if the company has new evidence of the plane's location. Ocean Infinity CEO Oliver Punkett reportedly said last year that the company improved its technology since 2018 when the firm made its first seabed search operation under a similar deal and found nothing. Punkett said the firm is working with many experts to analyse data and narrowed the search area to the most likely site. This year, the firm restarted the seabed search operation at a new 5,800 square mile site in the Indian Ocean after Malaysia's government gave it the green light, but bad weather halted the search in April. The Boeing 777 plane disappeared from radar shortly after taking off March 8, 2014, carrying 239 people, mostly Chinese nationals, on a flight from Malaysia's capital, Kuala Lumpur, to Beijing. Satellite data showed the plane turned from its flight path and headed south to the far southern Indian Ocean, where it is believed to have crashed. An expensive multinational search failed to turn up any clues to its location, though debris washed ashore on the East African coast and Indian Ocean islands. Apart from those small fragments, no bodies or wreckage were found. Malaysia's transport ministry said in a brief statement Wednesday that Ocean Infinity will search intermittently from December 30 for a total of 55 days in targeted areas believed to have the highest likelihood of finding the missing aircraft. The latest development underscores the government of Malaysia's commitment in providing closure to the families affected by this tragedy, it said. In Beijing, Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Lin Yuan said, "We appreciate the efforts made by the Malaysian side." Ocean Infinity declined to comment on the search Wednesday in response to an Associated Press email requesting details. And the next article is from Chicago, and the title is "Senator Durbin Seeks Answers from Homeland Security Targeting U.S. Citizens Caught in ICE Raids." And it's written by Gregory Royal Pratt from the Chicago Tribune and dated December 2, 2025. U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem recently claimed that no United States citizens have been caught up in Trump administration immigration raids. "But that is false," U.S. Senator Dick Durbin said in a six-page letter to Noem that demands answers about the department's detention of U.S. citizens and cites Chicago Tribune reporting. "The disturbing reality is that many American citizens have been caught in the Trump administration's indiscriminate and violent immigration enforcement dragnet across the country," Durbin wrote. "Masked armed agents have aggressively arrested U.S. citizens, pushed them into unmarked vehicles, tased, punched, and fired pepper balls at them, and in some cases wrongly detained them in immigration detention facilities for days, even weeks." A DHS spokesperson did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Durbin's letter cites a Tribune report on Maria Greeley, a Latina who had just finished working a double shift at the beach bar on Ohio Street in October, when she said she was surrounded by three federal agents who grabbed her, forced her hands behind her back, and zip-tied her. Greeley, who was born at Advocate Illinois Masonic Medical Center and is adopted, carries a copy of her passport just in case she runs into federal agents. During the encounter, Greeley said they told her she doesn't look like a Greeley. They said this isn't real. They kept telling me I'm lying, I'm a liar, Greeley recalled. I told them to look in the rest of my wallet. I have my credit cards, my insurance. Durbin's letter also cites a Tribune report on Diane Figueroa, a woman who was on her way to get coffee before heading to work when she encountered heavily armed, masked federal agents making arrests on a residential street. As Figueroa tried to drive through the 1600 block of West Hubbard Street in the West Town neighbourhood on October 10, an unmarked vehicle driven by federal agents collided with Figueroa's car as it tried to speed away from a hostile crowd. Seconds after the crash, agents abruptly stopped their vehicle and got out with weapons in hand, pointing at Figueroa, a US citizen. Agents then forcibly opened her door and pulled her out of the vehicle by her legs without identifying themselves, presenting a warrant or informing her that she was under arrest. As bystanders yelled, "You hit her, we have it on video," agents ignored the crowd and forced Figueroa into a red minivan and drove away. Durbin disputed Nam's contention about the US citizen citing press reports and his own office, which he said has documented the reported detention of at least 40 US citizens in Illinois alone between late August and early November 2025. He criticized the administration for its approach to immigration enforcement and for telling lies. Despite the fact that federal immigration agents are unlawfully sweeping up citizens in enforcement actions, even though most Americans think President Trump's immigration crackdown has gone too far, the Trump administration is doubling down on its made-for-social-media methods, Durbin wrote. In response to criticism, DHS representatives often have deflected or issued defensive, misleading, or demonstrably false statements. Durbin closed his letter by requesting records showing the total number of U.S. citizens arrested during immigration enforcement activity since January 20, related body camera footage, complaints of wrongful arrests, and documents related to their training and records-keeping practices, among other issues. He has requested a response by December 16. And the next article is from Washington, and the title is Trump Pardons Lawmaker in Bribery and Conspiracy Case. It's written by Michelle L. Price from the Associated Press. President Donald Trump pardoned Texas Democratic Rep. Henry Cuellar and his wife in a federal bribery and conspiracy case on Wednesday, citing what he called a weaponized justice system. Trump, who claims his own legal troubles were a partisan witch hunt, said on social media without presenting evidence that Cuellar and his wife Imelda Cuellar were prosecuted because the congressman was critical of President Joe Biden's immigration policies. Trump, a Republican, said in a social media post that Cuellar bravely spoke out against open borders and accused Biden, a Democrat, of going after the congressman and his wife simply for speaking the truth. Federal authorities charged Cuellar and his wife with accepting thousands of dollars in exchange for the congressman advancing the interests of an Azerbaijan-controlled energy company and a bank in Mexico. Cuellar is accused of agreeing to influence legislation favorable to Azerbaijan and deliver a pro-Azerbaijan speech on the floor of the U.S. House. Cuellar said he and his wife are innocent. The couple's trial was set to begin next April. "Henry, I don't know you, but you can sleep well tonight," Trump wrote in his social media post announcing the pardon. "Your nightmare is finally over." Cuellar, who served in Congress for more than 20 years, is a moderate Democrat who represents an area on the Texas-Mexico border and has a history of breaking with his party when it comes to immigration and firearms. He was among the most vocal critics of the Biden administration's response to a record number of migrants crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. He also is one of the last Democrats in Congress who opposes abortion rights. Kula is not the only Democrat Trump has pardoned this year. In February, he pardoned former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, 5 years after he commuted his sentence in a political corruption case. Like in Kula's case, Trump suggested New York City Mayor Eric Adams, a Democrat, faced federal corruption charges because he made comments critical of Biden's immigration policies. Trump did not pardon Adams, but after Trump took office, the Justice Department moved to drop the case against the mayor, who had begun working with the Republican administration on immigration issues. A top Justice Department official, who was also Trump's defense lawyer in several of his cases, stepped in to seek dismissal in the case. And my apologies for any mispronunciations. And moving on in today's reading of the Decatur Herald and Review, there's an interesting article on page A4, and the title is Raccoon Caught in Liquor Store Rampage, and it's from the Associated Press. The masked burglar broke into the closed Virginia liquor store early Saturday and hit the bottom shelf where the scotch and whiskey were stored. The bandit was something of a nocturnal menace. Bottles were smashed, a ceiling tile collapsed, and alcohol pooled on the floor. The suspect acted like an animal because, in fact, he's a raccoon. On Saturday morning, an employee at the Ashland, Virginia area liquor store found the trash panda passed out on the bathroom floor at the end of his drunken escapade. "I personally like raccoons," said Samantha Martin, an officer who works at the local animal control. "They are funny little critters. He fell through one of the ceiling tiles and went on a full-blown rampage, drinking everything." Martin said she took the raccoon back to the animal shelter, though she had her fair share of giggles along the way. "Another day in the life of an animal control officer, I guess," she said. The Hanover County Animal Protection and Shelter commended Martin for handling the break-in and confirmed the raccoon had sobered up. After a few hours of sleep and zero signs of injury, other than maybe a hangover and poor life choices, he was safely released back to the wild, hopefully having learned that breaking and entering is not the answer, the agency said. And the photo with this article is captioned, "A drunken raccoon is seen passed out in a liquor store bathroom Saturday in Ashland, Virginia." And the photo is of the raccoon laying flat on his stomach in the bathroom and obviously not moving. And there is a second photo and it's captioned, "Broken bottles are seen after a raccoon entered a liquor store Saturday in Ashland, Virginia." And the photo shows a trail of broken bottles, liquid lying on the floor, and the shelving in a little bit of a disarray. I'll now include the Decatur 4-day forecast from page B6. And today, cold. Mostly sunny, frigid, and the wind will be from the north-northeast at 6 to 12 miles per hour, and the temperature 18 degrees. And tonight it'll still be very cold with the wind from the south at 4 to 8 miles per hour and the temperature 4 degrees. And on Friday it won't be quite as cold and the wind will be from the south-southwest at 7 to 14 miles per hour. There'll be a high of 31 degrees and a low of 23 degrees. And on Saturday it'll be mostly cloudy and cold, and the wind will be from the northwest at 4 to 8 miles per hour. There'll be a high of 32 degrees with a low of 19 degrees. And on Sunday, there'll be snow or flurries, and the wind will be from the northeast at 8 to 16 miles per hour. There'll be a high of 31 degrees with a low of 13 degrees. And in the regional outlook, it'll be mostly sunny and frigid today. Expect 6 to 10 hours of sunshine with average relative humidity 70% and fair drying conditions. The temperature approaching the record low of 2 set in 1895 tonight. And also from Skywatch, sunrise will be at 7:01 a.m. and sunset at 4:31 p.m. and moonrise 3:58 p.m. and moonset 6:51 a.m. The full moon will be December 4, the last quarter December 11, the new moon December 19, and the first quarter December 27. And in weather history, on December 4, 1886, a snowstorm in Chattanooga, Tennessee broke records for city, including most snowfall in 24 hours, 12 inches and most snowfall from a single storm, 14.5 inches. And the UV index for today will be 2. And today's air quality will be moderate. And from page B4, today in history. On this date in 1783, General George Washington bade farewell to his Continental Army officers in New York. And in 1956, Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis and Carl Perkins, dubbed the Million Dollar Quartet, gathered for the first and only time for a jam session at Sun Records in Memphis. And in 1964, police arrested some 800 students at the University of California, Berkeley, one day after the students stormed the administration building and staged a sit-in to protest university restrictions on political activity on campus. And in 1965, the United States launched Gemini 7 with Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Frank Borman and Navy Commander James A. Lovell aboard on a two-week mission. And in 1969, Fred Hampton and Mark Clark of the Black Panther Party were shot and killed during a raid by Chicago police. And in 1991, after being held hostage for nearly 7 years by Hezbollah militants in Lebanon, Associated Press correspondent Terry Anderson was freed from captivity. And on this day in 2016, a man fired several shots from an assault rifle inside Comet Ping Pong, a Washington, D.C. pizzeria, as he attempted to investigate an online conspiracy theory that prominent Democrats were harboring child sex slaves at the restaurant. No one was hurt, and Edgar Madison Welsh surrendered. And that information was from the Associated Press. I'll now take a short break and return with the second half of today's reading of the Decatur Herald and Review for Thursday, December 4, 2025, read by Janelle Eckerman. Please stay tuned.